The sermon title today is very simply titled, The Cross. And we're going to turn to a couple of scriptures that we looked at last week, and we're going to use them for our jumping off point today. So first of all, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, as we said, it was a scripture that we read last week. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To an unbelieving world, the cross is foolishness to them." The cross, it's just for jewelry or just for ornamentation. But for the believer, the cross is the power of God. And we praise God for that. So let's turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. In verse 16 of Romans 1, it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." It is the power of God. To the unbeliever, the cross is more than just, to the believer, the cross is more than just putting two sticks together or two pieces of metal together and making sure that they are at the right measurement. To us, it represents the finished work of Christ. The finished work of the cross is the foundation of the Christian belief. Let me say that again. The finished work of the cross is the foundation of the Christian belief. Through the finished work on Calvary, Christ purchased our salvation. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Through Christ, I can be saved. Through Christ, I can be healed. Through Christ and the finished work at Calvary, I can be delivered. Today, spiritually, I am seated with Christ in heaven. Heaven is my home. This place is not my home. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians and chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, when you get there, go to verse 4. And it's a scripture that we have referred to many times in the past. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, give you a second to get there. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. And verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Amen. So for the Catholic Church, Jesus is no longer on the cross. He is seated in heaven at the right-hand side of the Father. Now, this is the good part. And spiritually, you and I are seated with Jesus today. Saints, there's nothing wrong with wearing a cross. It represents the foundation of my belief. But we must not stop at just wearing the cross. It's nice that we would wear one, but it's even critical and vitally important that we are willing to bear the cross. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. What we are going to look at today, I believe, is one of the most challenging messages in the Bible, because it takes our faith and it stretches it and it stretches it and it stretches it. So when you look at Matthew chapter 16, and you go to verse 24, verse 24 of Matthew 16. Now listen to the words. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Verse 25. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I believe that talking up about the cross and following Jesus, or taking up the cross and following Jesus, is one of the most challenging messages in the Bible. So if you came here today and you were hoping that the Lord and through the Holy Spirit would step on your toes, you better fasten your seatbelt, because the Lord is going to take you for a ride today. He wants all of us to take up the cross and follow Jesus. If we do not take up the cross and follow Jesus, what does His Word say? It says that we are not worthy of Him. In Jesus' time on earth, the cross meant what? Death. And it still means death today. That has not changed. It still means death today. Not a physical death, but a death to self. When we look at the cross, we wear today, we think of Jesus, our eternal life, our salvation that He purchased, and most certainly that is true. But after today, I pray that you will look at the cross that you wear or somebody else wears totally different from now on in your life. Yes, I look at the cross and think of what Jesus did for me, but look at the scripture again in verse 24. What does it say in verse 24? Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up whose cross? Your cross. And follow me." The cross here that Jesus is speaking about is the cross that you are going to bear. A cross of death to what? Not a physical death. A cross of death to self. Yes, when you look at your cross, may it remind you of your death to yourself. And if you save your place, because we're going to come back here to Matthew, but go with me to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 just for a moment. We're not going to be there very long, but Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ." You get it? The cross you bear, that's your cross. That's your death to self. Death to your own self-motivation, and you're going to follow and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The cross I wear is mine. It's my cross that represents my death to self and my new life that I have in the Lord Jesus." So when you look at the cross that you wear, you can look at it in dual purpose. You can say, "I praise God for what Jesus did at Calvary. I praise God for the finished work that He did on this cross. And through His cross, I can be saved. Through this cross, I can be delivered. Through this finished work, I can be healed today." But I also look at this cross and say, that is my also representing my death, the death to self. No longer am I going to serve myself. I have crucified myself. I have crucified my life. I am going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 16, in verse 24, again it says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Deny himself and follow me.'" Verse 25, the death of the cross that we are talking about here is a death of self. And what did it say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? "I have been crucified with Christ. My fleshly life and desires ended at salvation." So are you challenged yet? And I think everybody, if you're honest, you would say, "Yes, I am very much challenged." Because I look at the life that I am living today. What cross are you bearing today to follow Jesus? What cross? What is the cost for you for salvation? What is the cost that is going on in your life right now that you're willing to say, "I'm going to take myself, I'm going to put it on the back burner because Jesus needs to be on the front burner of my life"? People will say, "Well, I have a bad back, a challenging child, a health issue, family issues, and I guess that is the cross that I am meant to bear." And the answer is no, it is not. No, it is not. Dying to yourself in those things and saying, "It does not matter what Jesus, what happens, Jesus, I will follow you anyway," that's the cross you will bear. Now think about it. We all have family issues, many of us. We have things that didn't go the way that we thought they should go. Many of us have got health issues. Many of us have got back issues. Many of us have got all these things. We've got disruption in the family. I've been disowned by my family. I don't have a relationship with my family. I guess that's the cross I have to bear for Jesus. No, it's not. The cross you have to bear is when you say, it doesn't matter what my family says. It doesn't matter about my health. It doesn't matter about my physical attributes. I'm going to, no matter what, I'm going to serve Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's the cross you have to bear. Amen. That no matter what, you're all in. You're all in. Dying to yourself and those things. And say, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm going to follow Jesus. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. In Luke 14 and verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. In verse 25 of Luke 14, it says, now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now we see that word hate, but what that word hate there means is to love less. Is your family above Jesus? Is your spouse above Jesus? If it is, you've got it all topsy-turvy. You've got it in the wrong order. If you want to have a good marriage, you want to put Jesus first. If you want to have strength in your relationship with one another, you need to put Jesus first, because Jesus will teach you the things that you need to do and the things that you need to do in your life to make your marriage strong, to make your relationship strong. So he's not talking about hate here as far as anger, but a love less, that we do not love our mother and father more than we do Jesus. We don't love our wives. We don't love our husbands more than we do Jesus. We put Jesus very first in our whole entire life. So that's what the scripture is saying. So verse 26 again. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Who is the most important person in your life? Well, I pray that you would say in response would be, Jesus is the most important person in my life. If you look at verse 28, it goes on to say, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? Did you consider the cost of accepting Jesus? Did you consider the cost of your salvation? Well, many of us don't. When we come to know Jesus, we're preaching the Word, teaching the Word. We want people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is the most important thing in your life. And what do we say is the second most important thing in your life? To allow Him to transform the image of Jesus in your life, that you will become more Christ-like. Well, the way that you become more Christ-like is when you look at this Scripture and you consider the cost of your walk with the Lord Jesus and submit everything to Him. He says in verse 29, lest after He had laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock Him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake, listen to it, all that he has cannot be my disciple. Are you challenged yet? Of course you are. What does it cost you in your personal life to serve Jesus? Well, I don't know. I got to go to church on Sunday. Is that the only cost? Have you considered the cost, and are you willing to submit your life to Christ no matter what? You know, too many Christians need to take their cross off, and they need to wrap bubble wrap around it and put it back on, because that's the only cross they are willing to bear. They want one that's padded. They want one that's pretty. But when it comes to submission, they don't want to do anything about that. Paul says, I count it all loss to win Jesus. Do you count everything in your life a loss to win Jesus? Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, it's quiet in here. It's quiet from the pastoral role too. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7 of Philippians. And it says, but what things were gained to me, things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, but that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Is Jesus laid hold of you today? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call for God in Christ Jesus. Have you ever tried developing a relationship with somebody where there was no cost? And the answer is no. If you're going to get married, there's going to be a cost of you developing that relationship. Not your will, but God's will be done. In the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus, we want to have a relationship, and we want to have that heaven-bound relationship that we have with Jesus. We want those prayers answered, life that we can have in Jesus, but we want to do it at a very significantly low cost to ourselves. There's a cost to knowing Jesus. And the question is, are you willing to pay it? Jesus, no matter what I go through, no matter what I will serve you. I will die to myself and I will serve you no matter what. Have you made up your mind to do that? I think most of you have. This life that you live is a life that you have a plan and you have a purpose and you have a design on your life. They're all things. You were planted on this earth for this time. That God has a purpose for you in this time. He has a plan for you in this time. He has a design on your life for this time. But the only way that you're going to ever find it in your life is if you're willing to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Jesus. There's ministries all over the world. There's ministries all over the city of Knoxville. Are we willing to do them? There's a ministry that's available to each one of us. For too many, it's what's comfortable. What I have time for. Well, I just don't have time for that. I don't feel comfortable in that. I don't really think I would fit with the little kids. I would fit with the older people. So That's not going to be my ministry. Are we willing to meet the need no matter what? This church is going to grow. And it's going to continue to grow. Look how much we have grown, and we're going to continue to grow. There's going to be more ministry that's going to be picked up. Are you willing to say, I will step into that role? No, maybe teaching children's church isn't my thing. Let me tell you, as a pastor, I have done everything from washing tables to cleaning sewers out for the Lord, and I'll do it all again just to know Jesus. We have a ministry of the care center. I would do that. We have a ministry that would be available for an after-school program. I would do that. I would just do nothing but go from ministry to ministry to ministry to ministry, because it doesn't matter what my life amounts to. It's what Jesus wants. It's what Jesus wants for me in my life. I don't think I'm willing to make that commitment. That's a lot of times people struggle with. Is that truly death to self? Let's make this life what it's supposed to be about. And this life and what it's supposed to be about. Your life and what it's supposed to be about. This church and what it's supposed to be about. And His name is Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're all challenged by this today. But it's a challenge of the Word, because we've heard so many people say, well, you know, I've got a bad back, so that's a cross I have to bear. No. It's you serving Jesus. It's you following Him. It's you walking with Him. That's your cross that you need to bear. Are you willing to do that? Have you made up your mind from this day forward, and I think a lot of you have, from the time that you accepted Jesus, it doesn't matter what, I'm not going to look back. There's going to be things I'm going to go through. There's hurts I'm going to go through. How many of us have been hurt at church? How many of us been hurt by another brother and sister in Christ? How many of us have been hurt by another Christian? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what. And let me tell you, we live in a world, you better make up your mind. You know what I'm saying? Because we live in a world that's spiraling out of control, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And I don't care if the police pull up there and they block these doors. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever Jesus wants, we'll have church right out there in the yard. Nothing is going to stop us for our relationship that we have in Jesus Christ, because He's what we need more than anything else in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with me today? Lord, bless you all. Oh, I had something I wanted to share with you today. I better share it because I'm going to miss the opportunity. I don't know how many people of you are these watchers of the sun tomorrow, but I'll tell you what, this church has pulled out all costs to make sure that you can see the eclipse. So where you're standing right now, you are on the earth, and this is the sun, and this is the moon that is going to go by the sun. Do you want to see it again? Look how much money Crossroads Gospel Church has saved you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just rejoice in this day, and we also rejoice in the challenges of the Scripture. And Father, all of us were challenged right down to the ends of our toes. We rejoice in you because we love you, and we want to serve you, we want to follow you, and we want to live our life for you. I pray that over this congregation, you would open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon them. And we give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. And I would have to say, go Hawks.